Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Well, hello, everyone, and it's that time of the week again, the Brad and Body Podcast. We're having a ball here, Body. How are you, mate?
I'm a bit chilly here in Adelaide today. It's pretty cold. It was 6 degrees, and I went for a walk this morning, but looking forward to warming up with get some heat happening with our guest today.
Well, we have, you know, we for all our listeners, we have been having listeners of Where Are They Now? Guests, I should say, Where Are They Now? But today we've got one of Australia's finest. He was born in 1993. He's a professional basketballer playing for the Perth Wildcats, but he actually began his career in 2011 with the Townsville Crocodiles. He then joined the Illawarra Hawks in 2016, and he is a back-to-back champion with the Perth Wildcats. He's played in the Sutherland Sharks as well in the New Zealand League, played for the Townsville Heats, and as I said, a two-time NBL champion, an NBL Cup winner this year, and also the QBL Under-23 Youth Player of the Year, but arguably could be the best defensive player in the league this year as well, and it's none other than Mitch Norton. Mitch, thank you so much for joining us, mate.
Jeez, what an intro. Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for having me.
And we're done. Thanks for coming, Mitch. That's it. Great to see you.
Jeez, I'll give you guys a call any day.
Now, Mitch, do you realise that that you share a birthday with probably the man most recognised as a Perth Wildcat? And this isn't an April Fool's joke. It's April the 1st and Andrew Vlahov. The man who's synonymous with what? Did you know that? Have you celebrated together? Did you go out and party hard?
No, we haven't yet. Obviously, it happened during season, so maybe once it's all wrapped up, we might be able to celebrate.
I did love the not yet comment though, Mitch. I like that one.
All right, so let's keep the big fella happy.
Let's start you off in Townsville. How did you come to the game? Because I have a memory of a photograph of you as a little boy with Mike Kelly when he was playing for the Townsville Crocodiles. So at that time, were you already, you must have already been into the sport in some form?
Yeah, so my family had never played basketball. I'd never been around the sport at all. I really wanted to play soccer growing up. I had to wait until I was 5 years old or five years old, I think it was, to try out for the soccer team. And finally turned five and rocked up to the Oval, and the coach come down, threw out a couple of soccer balls, jumped in his car and took off, and that was the last we ever saw of him. So that soccer team didn't hang around very long, and I went to school the next day, and one of my friends at the time said, hey, why don't you come try basketball? My dad's coaching the team, so just come along and see if you like it. I was like, oh, basketball? Like, I really don't know about that. And sure enough, went along, loved it, was terrible. I fouled out of every game my first year. And mum and dad were thinking, geez, maybe rugby league's the way to go with Mitch.
The physical,
But yeah, since, you know, I guess playing, we're able to get tickets to go to a couple of Crocs games. And back then, it was really, really difficult to get your hands on some tickets with how well they were doing. And since then, I kind of haven't really looked back. It's been a fantastic way to create friendships. And I still have friends from that first team I played with all those years ago. So, I guess that's where the love of the game started.
So Mike Kelly, what drew you to him? Was it because he was recognised as a defensive player, good three-point shooter, and he had more to his game than just that, but the defensive aspect of the game was what Mike was most recognised for, and now we see you're very much a similar style of player. What drew you to him?
Yeah, so there was a fan day at the Swamp, which was rare. Normally they had it like down the Strand or something like that, so went along to a fan day, and after the fan day, Mike, I think, might have been shooting around. And he asked if I just wanted to hang around and pass the ball back to him. And then from there, I guess our friendship kind of grew. And Shane Folling at the time was assistant coach with Andre Lamanis. And they were like, look, if you ever want to come down to a training and floor sweep or something like that to be around the group and help the guys out, passing the ball back, you're more than welcome. So Tuesday nights were the only time I could really get to training, obviously with school. So Monday afternoons were full of homework. Otherwise, I wasn't allowed to get to training. So, so it was. It started off just, you know, heading along, watching trainings in the stands, to then floor sweeping, and then running the game and shot clock, which was extremely stressful when you've got Rob Rose out there, probably the most competitive guy I've ever seen at a training session. So you wanted to be spot on with that game and shot clock. So, and then from there, I guess training, warm-up drills and whatnot. And then eventually I was able to start training with the guys.
Mitch, can I ask you, because I remember I was a floor wiper for the Supersonics back then, and then they became the Kings. Do you remember that? And it's still vivid in my mind, where when you're sitting so close to these guys and you hear them talk and the defensive pressure and everything they do, do you remember that thinking, yeah, that's what I want to do?
Yeah, exactly right. I think being around that professional environment at such a young age, you know, it's kind of all I wanted to do. And you're sitting there and you're watching, you know, defensive rotation drills and everything. And then you go to your under 12 rep training and it's like, well, okay, yeah, I know this. Like, why are we still doing this? Like, so it was definitely a big learning curve for me. And you're exactly right. Being around those guys on a kind of a weekly basis to see how they work was something that I'll never forget.
Did you ever have anyone come to you and want to take you to college?
I had a couple of offers after playing in the under 17 World Champs. I had a couple of offers there, but really, college probably wasn't something I was interested in. Growing up watching the NBL, it's kind of all I wanted to do. And if there was a chance for me to sign a roster spot straight from the AIS, that's probably the route I was going to take. And fortunate enough that that opportunity came.
That is so amazing, because I'm getting goosebumps here, because it's actually a very similar route that I went. And when I was younger, I actually went to Syracuse and I had a tryout there, not to be in Syracuse, but I got offered a scholarship because all the coaches were there, and I got offered one to Florida. And I was really thinking seriously, but then the Kings came and offered me that role, and it was just not even a shadow of doubt that I wanted to go to college. And it's quite rare these days. Back then, it wasn't as rare as it is now. So to hear you say that, I'm just thinking how it would have been. You're sitting there, you're watching training, you're around Rob Rose, all these things, and you're like, yeah, I don't want to go to college. I want to play in this league that I've watched growing up.
Yeah, exactly right. And I think when I was at the AIS, they were trying to kind of change that route a little bit and kind of, you know, have guys try go straight into the NBL as opposed to go to college. So obviously I was around when Hugh Greenwood, Drimmick, Creek had just signed in Adelaide, so he left. So, you know, there was a pretty talented group there, and everyone had already committed to obviously go to college. And I think myself and Owen Ottergy at the time were kind of the two that were like, well, let's kind of hang here and see if we can make this work. So, it's obviously everyone has different routes, and, you know, it doesn't matter kind of which route you take, as long as you work hard, you know, you can try and be successful.
Yep.
So then Townsville folds as a franchise, and so you've got Sean Dennis coaching you there, who's one of our elite coaches. So was it Sean that suggested that you go play for the Hawks?
I mean, he obviously had a good relationship with Bevo. When the club folded, it was already into free agency. So there wasn't that many jobs floating around, so I was kind of going to have to take whatever I could grab. And sure enough, there was a spot there in Illawarra, and after having a chat to Bevo, you know, he's quite a likable guy, so you know, we were on the phone for hours just talking, really. And he kind of, you know, laid out my role and what it would be, and sure enough, I decided to go with Illawarra. And it was probably one of the best scenarios I could have had after the Crocs folding, you know, going to a not so massive city that's out of, you know, my comfort zone for my kind of first stint away from home. So, I was very glad with the opportunity to go to Illawarra, and first year there was pretty successful, which was nice as well.
Yeah.
I got to watch a lot of you down there because I was doing a lot of commentary in Wollongong, and you look so comfortable there. Talk to me about Sean Dennis and Rob Beveridge. Are they similar coaches? Obviously, they're great mates. When Bevo was at Perth, Sean Dennis was at Perth. Like, they just seem very similar. Were they in the coaching style?
I think SD had a bit more, kind of pulled the reins a little bit more, whereas Bevo kind of let everyone play. It was kind of an up-tempo sort of offense and whatnot, whereas I think SD's, I'm not sure if that's because we were such a young team as well. You know, didn't have a whole lot of experience, so maybe that's why it was probably a little bit more structured and things like that. But I think, you know, I learned so much from SD. You know, the off-seasons we had there together, the workouts we did were insane. Like, I couldn't even think of doing them now. They were individual sessions that were going for like 2 hours, and in Townsville, if you're training any longer than an hour, you're already sweating like crazy. I had sweat coming out of my shoes, and yeah, it wasn't pretty, but it was definitely helpful. And I think you know, them playing QBL alongside those workouts really allowed you to kind of put whatever you're working on during the week into a game situation, which was nice. And yeah, SD was massive for me. And then Bevo as well, kind of learning everything from SD and Paul Wolpert the years before, to then kind of getting a bit of freedom as well in Bevo's system was extremely nice.
Well, that's interesting, because Paul Wolpert was, I think he was brought to Australia originally by Trevor Gleeson. I think he was Trevor's assistant for a while there in Townsville, and then took over, if my memory's serving me well. So yeah. Do you find similarities between him and Trevor Gleeson?
No, I feel like they're opposites.
Well, it's, you know, good you've been exposed to a lot. That's good. Yeah, yeah. So when you and Nick Kaye went from the Hawks to the Wildcats, did you actually ever stop and think, oh, we might be the second coming of Damian Martin and Matt Knight? Did that ever occur to you? Did you hear that in along the way and think, oh, yeah, we might be the guys that are inheriting their positions?
Yeah, I think we definitely heard it a lot. But in saying that, you know, we didn't want to try and be like them.
Sure.
You know, although, you know, they're very successful, and, you know, it's very hard to replace a Damo or even be, you know, in that realm. So, yeah, I think we just wanted to come out and play our roles. And I think that's one thing about Perth is, you know, there's fantastic players, but everyone really buys into their role. And,
yeah,
and that's what makes, you know, everyone extremely difficult to guard at times. And the ball moves freely, which is a fun style to play.
I want to ask you about that, because this is really curious, and you know, you hear about Perth basketball and all these things. Now, we've had a lot of coaches on our show. We had Trevor a couple of weeks ago. We've had SD as well. But talk to me the difference that you found Townsville, Wollongong, and then going to Perth. Everyone says when you go to Perth, all that noise you hear about Perth, yeah, it's all true when you get there. Is it? What makes this club so good?
Yeah, I think, you know, the environment you're in day to day, having coaches available pretty much whenever you need to work on, you know, your individual game. You know, we still have, you know, individuals most mornings with coaches and whatnot. So I think just being around, they really put you in a position to improve. You know, it doesn't matter what stage of your career you're at. You're expected to come in and work on your craft. And I think just being around that environment on a day-to-day basis. Obviously, when I came in, you know, Damo, Greg Heyer, you know, you got those guys that are kind of setting the standard. And Jesse Wagstaff is a perfect example. He's, you know, he's been around the club for a very long time. And, you know, on days off, he's the first guy you see in the gym. And I think coming into a club and you see someone who's been so successful and done everything in his career, still coming in and days off to get shots and whatnot, I think that sets a really good example for any newcomer.
Absolutely. Trevor said in when we had him here on the show, he was mentioning that any person that comes into the team has to watch a video of Damian Martin of this block chasing it down and running out of bounds. Is that what every player does?
Yeah. Obviously, you know, we want to play Wildcats basketball, and there's a Wildcats way, and I think You know, there's a quip that covers a bit of everything. You know, it covers, we like to call it our bloodline, but it runs well beyond, obviously, when I got here, before Damo was here. You know, it goes back to obviously, Mike Ellis and Eric yep. Watterson and all those yep. type of guys. So it's a very rich bloodline. And you know, when you come here, you're made fully aware of it. It's now your responsibility to kind of carry that torch forward. So
something tells me
Something.
Yeah. Something tells me you might be in that video pretty soon, I reckon.
Hopefully, if so, that means, you know, I've done pretty well. So it's something that is pretty cool. I think it's very important to obviously know your club's history, and I mean, that's something that the Wildcats have done well for a number of years, is keep a core group together.
Yeah, and it's interesting, Mitch, that you feel that obligation now as someone who's been there and won a couple of championships to continue that on. Like, you've got, you know, Luke Travers coming along and a bunch of other younger guys that will form the core and continue on as the transition happened from Greg Hire on, you know. Like, so it's I think that's, you're really speaking to what the culture is right there, the fact that you have come into it, you've embraced it, now you're ready to perpetuate it with the next group.
Yeah, I think obviously, you know, playing against it for a number of years, you kind of understand what it's about somewhat to some degree. But yep. Yeah, I think, you know, like you said, so many young guys coming in, you know, Todd Blanchfield, Kevin White, those guys have kind of obviously played against Perth for a number of years, but not really been in the inner circle. So, there was lots of learning and trying to catch up on the fly. And I think that's why the NBL Cup was extremely good for us. It allowed us to kind of, you know, put some words up on the board and obviously, you know, try and live by them. You know, they're all good if they're words out there, but you kind of need actions with them as well. And I thought that sure. that cup really, really allowed us to do so.
Love that.
Yeah, off air we do. Yeah, off air we just talked briefly about Trevor's background and how this, we were surprised when we had him on the program that he had backpacked around the world and been doing that sort of thing. And I wondered if you knew about it, and you did. But you said something which cracked me up, that he's walking around with long hair. And like, are there any photographs? Are you seeing the evidence of this? Because Trevor Gleeson with a backpack, long hair, this is just, yep. I can't picture it without wanting to laugh.
Yeah, we were asking about if he had photos, and he went to check his phone. And I'm not sure who it was said, "Hey, Trev, I don't know if they had phones back then, mate." So I don't know why you're checking your phone for a photo. But it's something that, obviously it's you see Trev in a day-to-day environment where, you know, it can get pretty heated. To see that side of him and hear his backpacking stories, it's quite a bit of fun.
Mate, I wanted to ask you, I know you listen, avid listener to our show, but I just, what we do now, so we talk to you, and what we're going to do is we're going to throw you some names. And for these names, all we're looking is for like one word, one sentence, just what they mean to you, when you say their name, what does it mean to you? So I'm going to start it off, and I'm going to say, yeah. Nick Kay.
Brother.
Oh, nice. Good one. Nice. How about Damian Martin?
Leader.
Nice. Bryce Cotton.
There's plenty of words I could think of. unselfish.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. That's really good. Sean Dennis.
Mentor.
All right. Okay, nice. Todd Blanchfield.
nice reaction.
Once again, plenty of things I can think about. It's not really one word, but North Queenslander.
Okay. Oh, nice. Yeah, good one. Yep.
Now just segueing from the Bryce Cotton remark, like, what's your gut feeling? Like, is he going to make it back for the playoffs? Because I read an Instagram post he put up recently. It didn't sound very promising.
Yeah, we're not exactly sure. It's kind of one of those things that, obviously, you know, the procedure and how it went that's kind of the first step that needs to heal. But yeah, who knows with Bryce? I mean, he's had some injuries in the past or niggles in the past where we thought he might be in doubt, and he's a very quick healer. So fingers crossed. But like Trev said, at this stage we're preparing like we won't have him, which is obviously a big blow for us. But yeah, it's just one of those things that couldn't have happened at a worse time.
No, so. The noise about Trevor at the moment, there's a lot of noise around the team about the fact that he could be taking up a contract in Japan next season. I'm sure you would have heard that. I'm not asking whether you know about it, but just the noise of that, is that a distraction at a time when you know the absence of Bryce is enough to have to deal with without sort of wondering going forward, is Trevor going to be here or not? Like, is that impacting the team at all, or are you able to shut that out?
Yeah, I think we have heard it. Trev hasn't addressed it. So until he does address it, you know, it's kind of just outside noise. You know, everything with Will, he was kind of open and honest with us about. So, yeah. It's kind of one of those things that you know, our sole focus, is Illawarra coming up. And then obviously United, then rolling into playoffs, and whatever happens after that. So... yeah, we haven't heard too much about it.
Can I ask, do you guys talk playoffs now? Like, are you like, okay, we got Illawarra coming in, and remembering we're doing this on Monday for our listeners, as they all know that. So tomorrow night you're playing Illawarra. Do you guys like, hey, you know, this is a stance for us. We could end up playing them in the playoffs. Do you talk like that, or is it the old cliche, one game at a time and just keep winning?
Obviously, you know, playoffs is around the corner, and our sole focus is playing good basketball leading in. And yeah, that starts Monday night. So, we don't really talk about it too much. Obviously, we know it is around the corner. And at this stage, I have no idea who we could potentially be playing. So, you know, with how close that race is for third and fourth. So, yeah, I think our sole focus is 100% on us and playing good basketball leading into playoffs and obviously finding a way to kind of be successful without Bryce, which has been tricky.
Yeah, of course. I'm going to ask you something that I haven't asked a lot of players this year, and I just sort of hope the first thing that comes to your mind you'd like to say. What does it mean with you with COVID? Has that made the season long, draining? When I say COVID to you, what comes to your mind?
An extremely long preseason. without a doubt, I think we had three starting dates for our preseason, and they kind of just all rolled into one. So it has been a little bit draining at times, but it is refreshing knowing that playoffs is just around the corner. So it's been challenging. Obviously, having the hub was a little difficult. For guys with, you know, kids and families and loved ones being here in Perth. But, you know, it just goes to show, you know, we were kind of lucky in a way, because you look at teams like New Zealand who did it really tough being away from family for extremely long amount of time. And once again, I just really appreciate, you know, what those guys have done to help us get a season over and done with.
Yeah, that's a good comment. I've got a personal one for you. Now, with Damien's retirement, I know you've got to be your own man. You can't be, you know, Damo part two. But did you feel extra pressure, leadership pressure, more along those lines with Damien's departure? Because, I mean, it's happened fairly seamlessly, I've got to say. I mean, a lot of us at the start of the season, or a lot of pundits, were saying, well, you know, Damo's absence is going to be huge. But he did miss a lot of games in the previous season. So there was sort of time for Perth to adjust. But now, from a leadership perspective, do you feel that responsibility on the floor?
Yeah, I think obviously, like you said, with Damo missing, you know, a fair few games last year, and with his injury, it kind of allowed me to kind of step into that starting role and have him as my biggest fan sitting on the sideline, cheering and supporting me. And I think having that confidence that I could look over and see Damo there and, you know, he's in my corner, really kind of, I guess, boosted me and gave me a lot of, yeah, confidence moving forward that maybe if the next year, if he's not around, that I can do it. But I think that leadership side of thing is something that I've kind of improved on this season, obviously with Wags being the captain and me and Vice. I think, you know, Trev kind of did put it on us to help lead this group, which is a young group, a relatively new group. So I think, yeah, I guess our knowledge of the system and the culture was extremely important.
Okay. Well, our last question for you is from me. Brad's got, he's gone off and having a cup of coffee. is the talk of the three-peat within the group, how important is the three-peat? I mean, outside, we're all saying, oh, you know, that's the one thing Perth hasn't achieved yet. They won 10 championships, blah, blah, blah. But like within the group, does that come up like, at all? Or would someone say like a Jesse?
Yeah, no, it doesn't. It actually doesn't come up. The thing we talk about at the start of the year is, you know, we want to secure home court advantage for the semifinals. So that's either first or second. Once we've ticked that box, then it's obviously on to the next one. But yeah, with such a new group and you know, a whole lot of young guys, we didn't really see it as a three-peat. It was a new challenge. So for a lot of guys, you know, it could potentially be their first championship if we're you know, lucky enough to obviously succeed. But yeah, for us, it's all about just ticking boxes and. Yeah, the first box is ticked, so on to the next one.
Mitch, we could talk for here. We say the same thing to every guy that comes on this. I'd love to have you back because you've got so much. But I'm going to ask one really quick question. When's your contract up for Perth?
The end of the season.
Ooh, Mike Kelly connection. Back to North Queensland. Are you starting something, Brad? Jeez, don't start rumours.
So we can say from here that it looks certain that Mitch Norton is heading to Cairns. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, you guys are going to get me in trouble.
Mitch, they would be crazy and there's no way Perth would let you go. Mate, I just want to say thank you so much. The bit that sticks out to me is when you say the club's history. I hope clubs are listening to this because they don't do it well enough. Perth do. And you say here, well, you brought up Mike Ellis's name. I reckon you could ask a number of players in every team and say, name a player in that era and a couple of them wouldn't. So that is what is just brilliant. So, mate, good luck tomorrow night in Illawarra. I will see you down there, actually. Good luck for the rest of the season. And you are a true gentleman of our game and an absolute legend of a player. And thank you so much for coming on our show.
No worries. Thanks a lot for having me, guys.
I just could listen to all our guests every hour, every minute, every day, buddy. We could keep going. To our viewers, yes, that was a little bit longer than what we normally go. And I know our listeners, we like to keep it. But that was just intriguing. That was, you know, an in-depth of a great guy, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It makes me want to go down to Burger Boss, buy myself a hamburger, put my feet up and listen to it all over again. That's Burger Boss, folks. Pretty soon, hopefully, right, we're going to be announcing them.
I'm sorry to all our listeners. Body just had to do it. Tell us the story, Body.
No, I think we might have a sponsor. That's all I'm saying. let's keep moving forward. And
yeah,
they're great. They're gourmet. Jesus, such good burgers. Anyway, let's move right along. Let's start talking about what the future holds because we've got one round to go.
So here we go. Let's not go through all the games, buddy.
No.
There's four teams we need to talk about right now.
Okay.
Melbourne, Perth, gone. Cairns, New Zealand, Adelaide, forget. Right now, Illawarra, Phoenix, Kings and Bullets. Talk to me.
Well, Illawarra, we got 19 and 15. They got two games to go, right? So they'd win one game out of Perth and Sydney. That would make them 20 and 16, say. They drop one, they pick one up. I think they're pretty, you know, even if they drop both, 19, 17, I don't think they're in bad shape. Now, 19 wins is the key.
But they do have the worst percentage. That's the problem. If they lose, obviously the percentage will even get worse. So that's not good if teams win. But, mate, can Sydney and Brisbane win all their remaining games?
Well, see, here's the interesting one because we dropped to South East Melbourne Phoenix. They're 18 and 15, and they've got three games to go. And those games are against Brisbane twice, and New Zealand, and Brisbane, who are 16 and 17. They're in worse shape. They cannot afford to drop anything. They've got Southeast Melbourne twice, and Sydney, the other team that's right in the mix. Sydney are 17 and 17. So, geez, we've got a really interesting final round coming up. It's almost like it's a pre-finals round of finals because particularly that Brisbane Southeast Melbourne series if Brisbane was to drop one of those and go to 18 losses, they're pretty much dead in the water. So,
mate, about that Kings win? I mean, that was an amazing double overtime win. But geez, Melbourne burnt that up. A wide open layup for Shea Ely. They missed what, 4 out of 5 free throws.
I just want to say Jesse Wagstaff has been on the phone saying, Shea, that's okay to miss a layup that would have won you the game. He said, don't worry about it. It could happen to the best of us.
Boom, boom.
But also, how about the fifth foul on Jarrell Martin? I'm telling you, Joe Lewis, he's anticipating contact. He's already hitting the floor before Martin's even touched him. For crying out loud, biggest flop I've seen in ages. Costs him they won the game. They won the game, so there is a basketball god.
I just got a text message from Jesse saying I've run out of fingers for my championship ring. So I don't know what he's saying, you know.
No, I think he's got one finger up if he's heard what I said. And I know which one it is.
All right, so who do you think is going to make the fall? I've said it all along. It'll be Phoenix and Illawarra for me. Who do you think?
I agree. And if it goes the way I'm anticipating, it'll be Illawarra finishing third and Phoenix fourth, which would have your Melbourne derby as your first semi-finals and your Illawarra and Perth in the other one, which would mean that Perth in this last round is actually getting a potential dress rehearsal for the finals. We'd have Illawarra, who they might play in the semis, and then likely Melbourne, who they play in the grand final. So they get an absolute dress rehearsal, a chance to see how they're functioning without Bryce Cotton against these teams. And, you know, they took out Sydney last week without Bryce, so I wouldn't be writing them off. I mean, you can't take the best player in the league for the last 3-4 years out of your lineup and expect that you're going to be anywhere near the same team. But there is that culture that Trevor's spoken about, that Mitch has spoken about, you know, that counts for something. It really does. Systemic basketball, they play a system, you fit into it, and then you have your versatility in and around it. It's a great way to play. It's a very successful way to play, has been proven. So I wouldn't be writing them off.
Not at all. And don't you just love, I'm going to go back to Mitch, that club history thing. You know, the clubs need to bloody listen to that, because I tell you, there is not enough of that, you know. And then did you hear what he said? You would have heard it, of course, but just I picked these words up when he was in the hub and they said, yeah, but, you know, words don't mean anything. It's actions. And I just love hearing that. You know, like how many people talk great?
Everyone talks great. Talking the talk and walking the walk. Yeah, two different things. I mean, but that history, I look at the Adelaide 36ers now, you know, supposedly my club. I don't feel that way about them anymore because I don't feel a connection to them. I love Cairns. I love the fact that Cairns came from 16 down, knocked off the Phoenix. I mean, that's a game that the Phoenix really should have won. They come from 16 down and won. That's so I love Cairns.
Can you believe they're getting Mitch Norton next year?
If you start seeing this on social media, you know where it started. It's just the two of us fooling around. Anyway.
Right, talk to me. What's your nasty?
My nasty is, speaking of Cairns, I'm a little bit disappointed with the Cairns coaching staff. I think you can only watch Venky Joyce go to the foul line so many times before you want to weep. You want to turn away. You want to put your head in a bag. You just don't want to see it anymore. It's just so bad to watch Venky at the foul line. The guy's lost all confidence. They need to stop working with him on the floor, take him into the locker room, turn on the video, and show him how Rick Barry used to shoot a free throw for the Golden State Warriors. Rick, he would be standing there, he would lean down into almost a defensive stance, hold the ball in both hands between his knees, and just throw it up, and
see,
bang, in she went.
I disagree with you. Completely disagree. I'd show him Buddy Franklin, mate, and kick the thing. He'll have more luck.
No. Honestly, Brad, have you ever tried that free throw? You've been on a bus, so you must have tried that free throw. It's very accurate. The only thing about it is it looks embarrassing.
We used to do half court shots after shoot arounds, and we all used to put in like a couple of dollars each, and whoever wins the shoot around gets. I used to throw the Rick Barry from half court.
Yeah,
it's good. It's accurate.
Dead on. Yeah, and I mean the only reason it's gone out of favor because I mean there's so many NBA players, big guys, Dwight Howards and DeAndre Jordans, et cetera, who can't make a free throw. the only reason they don't shoot that way is because it just, you know, it's not cool. It's not cool.
Yeah,
but
also,
it's effective.
Those guys, that's a tennis ball in their hand, right? Because they have got such big hands. You try and shoot a tennis ball.
I know. So that's a Nerf ball for Shaq, you know, like I understand that. That's why holding it between your knees. Hey?
Not Venky. He ain't got hands like that.
But he sure hasn't got a free throw either. So give him the Rick Barry technique. Anyway, that's it. That's my noise nasty. I'm out. Give us your rattler.
Phoenix, guys, you had a chance. So up third spot right now. Damn. You go to Cairns. You got a chance to get up third spot. Then you got a chance to play Perth in a semifinal with no Bryce Cotton, right? You have the greatest opportunity and you burp it up a team that had won seven games for the year. You know, like unbelievable. Lost. That is a massive loss. Massive loss.
They'd lost eight in a row, Cairns. Eight in a row as well. You know, there was nothing. And that was 16 up late in the third quarter.
Very disappointing. Very disappointing.
No words.
Well, thank you to Piranha Media. Thank you, buddy. That was a great week. Love Mitch Norton. He was great. We'll try and get him back again because we just don't have enough time to get through everything with these guys.
If they win the championship, we definitely should have him back on. If they were to win the championship from this position.
Oh, he'll probably want to come back if they win the championship. Don't forget, we've got burgers that are sponsoring us. We're watching Piranha Media. We've got everything, mate.
Cairns, Thai fans will be listening in to see what the contract needs to be adjusted to. All right, let's get out of here before people start believing it.
Body, have a great... make sure everyone checks out Body, BOTINAGY.com. The fantastic writer. To everyone, thanks for listening. We have a ball doing this. This is just two cranky men sitting around having a ball. So, Body, thanks, mate. Have a fantastic week.
See ya.
See you all next week, people. Bye-bye. Mate, how much would you pay to watch Trevor Gleeson walk into a training as a hippie with his long hair?
Can you imagine the beads and everything and the flowers?
And what about he looked in his phone? There's no phones, Trev. What are you doing?